From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning, focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour as we move ever closer to the beginning of Lent and on into the Easter and the resurrection of our Lord, the crucifixion and death, and then resurrection of our Lord. We're pleased and honored to have Paul Starkey join us today. Paul, I see you have your name tag on. Is that for my benefit in case I forget?
This place is locked down. I'm a visitor and they know it. I check in and I check out.
We got strict security. You never know who's going to walk in.
I'm just glad they let me in to spend some time with you.
Well, we're very glad you're here. Paul is the former,
the former humble president, of the Sacramento Council, the Society of St. Vincent de Paul.
Right.
And that is now in the distant past because our wonderful president, Judy Dietlein, is coming up on her third year.
That just doesn't seem possible. It seems like you just met her.
It's amazing. And she has done so much in that short period of time. And we're real excited about it. We've got a lot of great stuff coming up this year. It's our 65th anniversary of being incorporated in Sacramento.
Wow. And when you say president of Sacramento, it's the whole diocese of Sacramento.
It's the whole diocese, up and down.
Yeah.
And Judy has put a lot of miles on that
car. Oh, I bet. That's the first requirement, right? Let's check the engine light and let's make sure you got some good tires.
Yeah, kick the tires and make sure that Bob, your faithful chauffeur, is going to be there.
That's right.
And Bob has been by her side and just been helping out in all the different projects we have.
Yeah. So there's a lot of couples involved, aren't there? And
there are. There are. And it's interesting because when we try to honor or single out one of the Vincentian couples, it can't be done.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, no, we're a team.
Yeah, we're not honoring Fred without honoring Lois.
Exactly.
Or vice versa.
Yeah. And we just, in fact, every year in December, at the beginning of Advent, we have what we call the Top Hat Dinner.
Right.
And that's an opportunity to recognize the people who have just done, above and beyond.
I think we first met at the Top Hat Dinner.
Probably.
We were walking through the line. I think we were both wearing Notre Dame gear. And I said, you're a Notre Dame guy.
That's the connection. And anyway, it's coming up this year, we have our annual charity dinner. Mm-hmm. And so mark your calendars. That is for April 24th. Mm-hmm. And that it will be again at the Doubletree at Arden. And because it is our 65th year, our theme is celebrating our Vincentian traditions. Although I was reading it, and Seattle is celebrating their 100th year.
No way.
Yeah, 100th year. And that's the beauty of the society. It's worldwide. It started in Paris in 1833, came to the United States very, very quickly, 1842, mm-hmm. and just exploded across the country.
Who brought it over the water from France?
You know, I really do think it was the Irish.
Uh-huh.
I think there were people, and when you read about the church history, this is fascinating because the priests and others were traveling back and forth, and so they would bring the miracles happening out of Europe, and they would bring them to North America.
That's quick.
So very quick, but they were in Paris. They saw what this new society was doing, helping the poor. This concept of visiting the poor where they were. And they took it back to, you would think, well, where did it start? New York, right? No, St. Louis.
St. Louis, yeah.
So God works in mysterious ways.
Yeah.
And they are celebrating their 175th anniversary this year as well.
Wow. So that's the oldest.
That's the oldest, and that's
in the U.S.
That's the national. So to tie that in, big announcement, our keynote speaker for this dinner is Ralph Middlecamp, the national president.
Oh, wow.
So he's coming to Sacramento. A wonderful speaker.
And he did not play football for Notre Dame.
There's no Notre Dame connection.
Okay. He's going to wear green.
And Ralph has, in his role as president, has been across the country and also, throughout the world in his role as national president. So we're very excited to have him there. So that's going to be a big deal.
What's his background?
Interesting. He came into the society as an executive director.
Oh, wow.
And his whole background was administration, but he's very spiritual. And when he gives talks about Blessed Frederick, the founder of the organization, and St. Vincent de Paul, just incredible, very moving. And so, again, for this dinner, I'm very excited because, you know, we only let these dinner speakers come on, you know, for what, a half an hour or something
Right.
I think we'll give the national president, you know, a little bit more time.
We're going to put the hook away.
He's spellbinding, though. I mean, you could listen to him for hours. He's just amazing.
Well, you know, I can't remember the last dinner I missed. I don't think I've missed any, but...
Well, you never want to miss that dinner.
Yeah, you never want to miss that. It's a great dinner, but every speaker has just been fabulous. I mean, they're really some big names or just some compelling people.
Well, we try to do that because it's an opportunity to really showcase the society and the work of the society, not just to our own members, of course, but to the whole community. So we're always inviting people to come and see, listen. There will be a video that will show some of the work that we do. But this year, especially with Ralph Middlecamp coming in, it'll give a real inside view as to what the magnitude of this society.
Yeah.
And it always amazes me that this little idea, it really is the mustard seed. You know, you've got two people going out home to home, and you just generate that and regenerate it, and it's a miracle.
And all over the country, all over the world, but all over the country, every now and then I'll read about some St. Vincent Paul doing. I remember reading about up in Eugene, Oregon, they were building housing.
Right.
You know, just each sort of has its own things they're doing. I mean, the mission's the same: help people.
And the way that's generated, it's a charism because the group comes together. And they pray about, you know, what they're being called to do and how they should do it, and they just start doing it.
Yeah.
So in my little conference, Our Lady of Grace in West Sacramento, we've been very much concerned about the homeless situation for years and have advocated to the city council. And 2 years ago, joined with other churches in the community and started housing people during the winter months when it's cold, you know, in these churches.
Right.
And it's done. I mean, if I explained to you how it's done, you would go, it couldn't happen. There are so many people involved. There's so much time and sacrifice. And it's a real challenge. It's a real challenge. But as we see the problem continues to grow, there will be these community responses.
Yeah.
And so the key is to have the community responses and the churches and the government, you know, working hand in hand and not being opposed to one another.
You know, one of my daughters, who's 16, junior in high school, got involved. Davis has a rotating winter shelter program, probably modeled after yours, where it goes from church to church, including our Jewish friends in Davis, and, you know, a meal and a place to sleep and et cetera. And she was one of the volunteers that did this throughout all throughout December and into January. And my goodness, you know, what she learned and what she came home, you know, wanting to do more, you know,
sure.
just being so inspired. I remember we're in the habit of going to the 4 p.m. Mass on Christmas Eve, the children's Mass.
Sure.
You know, and that was the night St. James was hosting. I think they do a week segments, but on Christmas Eve,
yes,
St. James was hosting the rotating shelter in the gym. And my, you know, of course, there's a lot of Masses on Christmas Day that my daughter could go to. But she says to me, she says, "Dad, I want to go Mass with you guys, but I'm committed, and nobody else wants to work Christmas Eve, and I'm already
right.
committed, and I don't know what to do." And I said, "Where do you think Jesus would be?"
Yeah.
And she said, "Okay, I'll go to the shelter."
Yeah.
And she went to Mass. You know, she can go another time. You know.
And I would bet you that will be throughout her life one of the most memorable experiences of Christmas she's
oh,
ever
yeah.
had.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and that's one of the things that when you're involved in these things you know, physically involved, you know, face to face, having conversations, talking to people, you begin to see a whole different reality. You know, when you're driving by on the street and you see a tent, I mean, you're going to have all kinds of thoughts and stuff, but those are real people with real problems and real concerns. And the thing that always strikes me is that they are a community within themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget last year when I was at the shelter, you know, we provide a meal, and right? And so they are, you know, just like you and me, I don't like that. Well, here, I'll take that. Here, you take
yeah,
this.
Right.
You know, and it was just so human.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that as long as we keep that in front of us, I think we'll solve the problem.
Well, you know, and I'm glad you brought up the topic, because it seems to be, especially in Sacramento area, almost topic A, if you will, homelessness. And,
sure.
Mayor Steinberg, when he took office, said that was going to be his number one priority. Governor Newsom seems to have put a lot of priority on it in his budget and et cetera.
Sure.
I mean, you guys are out there on the front lines. It's been a problem that's been with us for a long time. Seems to be a growing problem. It doesn't seem to be shrinking. What insights do you have on this in terms of maybe the mayor's initiatives and the governor's initiatives?
Well, I think one of the things I said, I think it's really important that there be cooperation between the community groups and the churches and government, mm-hmm. because each of them bring different resources and advantages to the table. From my point of view, in what I have seen and in the experiences I had, it is not a one-size-fits-all solution. You have to go in, and again, these are people just like you and me, with different situations, different problems. Right. They got into homelessness a thousand different ways. Mm-hmm. There's no one way to get
there's
into homelessness.
There's not a stereotype.
You can point to things that are going to be, you know, sort of system-wide things. And again, housing is a known factor that's an issue. But there are other things that are, you know, just the way and this might segue into the other thing I want to talk about this morning. You know, there are legal challenges for the poor, and so if they're trying to help themselves, and then they have these legal barriers, you know, or they're taken advantage of, and not necessarily even out of, you know, consciousness, but you know, nobody knows what the right way to do something is, and so like in the case of an eviction or something like that, it's handled wrongly. And so, you know, where do they turn, you know, to you know, get that legal assistance stuff? And so, St. Vincent de Paul, when we come into a situation where we see that particular problem, we will refer to the local legal aid in the different communities,
which is something you do as well,
right? And I'm here again. You know me. Every time I come here, it's for a commercial. And this February 8th, we have the 17th annual Valentine Run. They call it the Race for Justice.
It's 6 days early, Paul.
Well, this is
Valentine week.
There's a lot going on, and this is always the second Saturday in February, and I you know, we now say rain or shine.
Don't
worry about the weather. Like today, beautiful, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and it'll be beautiful up to that morning, and then that morning at 5:30, the buckets will just pour down, and then almost every time, miraculously, it stops and it clears, and I'm sloshing through the wet street.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but it's fun. This is one race where it's like come one, come all. They have dogs. They got the babies in the strollers. This is over at Watt and El Camino at the Country Club Plaza, at the back of the plaza. That's where they start. And they do this walk. It's either a 2 mile walk or a 4 mile walk. You take your pick. It's through the neighborhood there. It's a beautiful walk. It's always enjoyable. And they have events for kids. They've got this this crazy, crazy quarter-mile kids fun run for the 0 to 5-year-olds.
Oh, wow.
And it's dangerous. Don't get in the way of a 5-year-old who's running for that medal.
So like a dachshund race?
Oh, it's so much fun. And so they have the walk, and that's what I always participate in. They also have for all the runners. It's a well-attended run event. Yeah. What's kind of funny is there are a lot of lawyers and judges and other legal professionals that are there, but you don't recognize them because there's no coat and tie.
I know.
So you know, you'll be walking along. I'll say, oh, there's a judge, you know.
I swim because my feet hurt and I can't jog very well anymore. So I've started swimming, and I've been swimming next to a judge for a couple of years. I have no idea. He wasn't wearing his robes, you know.
You didn't have to say, may I approach?
You know? No, nothing. You know.
Yeah. Well,
so who's leading the pack, the judges or the lawyers?
Pretty much, I think the lawyers are typically leading the pack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's just a function, I think, of the judges like to walk.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them, because I'm in the same group. But this is a fundraiser for Legal Services of Northern California.
Yeah. How do you raise the funds?
The funds are raised by people that come and sign up for the race and walk, and then there are pledges.
Uh-huh.
So I have a team called the Gators, which is short for litigators, and it's Gators 2020. And so if you go to the Valentine Fun Run website, it's all set up. It'll show you how to donate online. It'll show you who the teams are. And just remember, if you're online, you're looking for the Gators 2020, and that's your team.
Very good.
So anyway, these funds, going back to our conversation about these injustices, it's things like evictions. It's things like people are entitled to a benefit, and they've made a mistake, and the benefit's denied. Well, you know, again, where do they turn to get help, you know, to make sure that the benefit is paid? And we're interested in seeing that people get the benefits and the social programs that we've designated to get people out of homelessness. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the thing. It's like you look at a situation where someone is living month to month. They have a situation where, let's just say there's an illness. An illness will be devastating. If there's no health insurance, then that money comes out, and then if you're paying for health insurance, you're not paying for something else.
Right.
And if you don't pay your rent, you get evicted.
Right.
And people have to make choices. They've got kids.
Your car breaks down.
You can't get to work, and you get fired. You know. And so there's a whole bunch of, you know, life happens. But then sometimes life happens unfairly, and there is a place for justice for all. And that's where, you know, if you know, sometimes you have a situation, you need an attorney. And Legal Services has, interestingly enough, they have grown up in the Sacramento area. Their boundaries are a little bit different than the diocese, but very, very close. They also were incorporated, I think, in 55.
And this is a private organization.
It's a private nonprofit. It was formerly Sacramento Legal Aid, and it was lawyers and judges back when Sacramento was, you know, little Sacramento,
right.
not the big city, you know, not the place it is now. And these lawyers and judges got together and said, you know, we have to have legal aid. They recognized the problem for their community.
Mm-hmm.
Out of that grew this Legal Services of Northern California, with offices, you know, the main offices in Sacramento, but we're in Woodland. They're up in Chico. They're up in Eureka. Now they're down in Vallejo, so it's again quite a bit of coverage in 23 counties, and that's a resource for St. Vincent de Paul, because when we go into a home visit and we see somebody who's got a legal problem, we're not equipped to deal with that, you know. But we have a resource for them to go to, so it's helpful.
You know, a benefit that is crucial to a lot of people that I just learned of this. Not because of personal experience, but Social Security, if you commit a felony, it's gone.
Right.
I was like, I mean, I understand, but by the same token, I think, wow. What, presumably the person's over 62,
sure.
Or 65, or maybe older, and nobody should be committing a felony. I understand that part of it. But to automatically, forever, loses your Social Security benefit.
And there's a consequence, and that is part of justice too.
Yeah.
But what if you were, the records show you have a felony, and in fact it was what they used to call the wobbler.
Right.
You know, it was kind of in between. It was charged as a misdemeanor, but somehow got recorded as a felony.
Right.
You know, you're going to need a lawyer to help you sort that out.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And that's the kind of thing that happens all the time. I'll never forget one of the cases I had where the couple was accused of welfare fraud. And the reason was, the rationale was, is that they had declared they needed money when they really didn't. Well, why don't they need money? Well, because they have a trust set up in Wyoming. And that's all well and good, but that money was not available to them within the meaning of the regulations.
Right.
You know, so we had to go to the county welfare office and make that case. And here's the kicker. If I had not been able to prevail in that case, the next step, those people would be charged with criminal fraud.
Wow.
So this is why the work of Legal Services in Northern California is so important, because it touches on all these different areas that people, they wouldn't even think about in their daily life.
Yeah.
But again, it comes back to, these are real people, real problems, just like you and me. And, you know, we can buy insurance, legal insurance. You know, we can, you know, afford a lawyer. You know, we have insurance plans that will, you know, hold us harmless and indemnify and all that, you know, legal mumbo jumbo. You know, they don't. So they need an advocate. And so it's important work. It's good work. And again, it's really one of these things that by putting attention and donations to that, you're really helping the greater society. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so if people are interested, if they're on Facebook, they can just go on Facebook and look for Juris, J-U-R-I-S, Gators. And it'll pop.
Do you have the
right
little
up.
Logo? You have a little alligator there.
I've got the.
Does he have a name?
No, you know, he does not have a name. That is.
I figure alligators have to be male. All of them.
Well, this guy is a little chubby, and he's typically holding one of his little Valentines and stuff. Yeah. But that's interesting. So we'll have to come up with a name. This nameless gator has been around since, at least I've been involved in this, at least. I think 2005.
Wow.
Yeah. So
he's got to get a name.
We've got to name him. So maybe that's what I'll do this year.
Very good.
The other thing is tomorrow night, Thursday, if you're in downtown Sacramento at the Old Spaghetti Factory, again, go to that Facebook, Juris Gators. There's a little receipt. You show them the receipt, and they donate to the cause.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, so eat some spaghetti and
Spaghetti
save the
Factory?
World.
Is it?
Spaghetti Factory in 1910.
Right on the railroad tracks.
Right
there.
On the railroad tracks.
A wonderful place to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's and very reasonably priced.
And tasty.
And tasty. Plus, you get Spumoni ice cream.
I'm looking forward to it.
So, I should, you know, this we mentioned Valentine's Day here. Guys, let me give you a word. You can forget her birthday. You can forget your anniversary. You can forget the kids' birthdays. Do not forget Valentine's Day.
Toughest day of the year.
Toughest day of the year. I love about 11 o'clock at night, on February 13th, I was in Safeway, which was the only grocery store open at that hour. And there was a line of about 40 guys with the, you know, the bouquet of roses, and over in the card section,
yeah,
they call it panic shopping.
Yeah, well, you know, it's you know, now that we're having this conversation, guys, plan ahead.
Yeah,
you know, but it's a thankless task, because you bring her chocolates, and she says, "Why I'm not eating chocolate? Why did you do that?" You know, and then you know you get like a little gift. I'm like, no, I don't need that. You know, it's like.
I don't like red wine.
We're on our own. I will say, though, I think that a nice romantic dinner will
The dinner is the best choice.
Yeah.
But trying to get a reservation.
Early.
Yeah.
They're going now.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. How about the 13th?
No!
So, yeah. And very quickly, dedication. Last Sunday, the Frederick Ozanam mosaic.
Yeah, this is really amazing. In the National Cathedral, they had the installation of this beautiful mosaic window. I don't know what the times are, unfortunately, but if you check EWTN, you can see the ceremony.
Watch it, yeah.
And it was, you know, we're... Frederick Ozanam is Blessed Frederick.
Right.
And we are all waiting in the wings saying, you know, please, you know, give us that miracle, you know, get him over the line.
Right.
And I don't know. I just think that that National Cathedral has been being built forever.
Yeah.
You know, they keep adding things and stuff. So to have the society there in that magnificent building is quite an honor.
Yeah, boy, that really is. Well, it's great to see you. April the 24th, Doubletree, 65th year, Ralph Middlecamp, the president.
Right.
National president of St. Vincent de Paul Society.
Big event, big year. And if you want to, you know, if you have a business you want to sponsor this year, you haven't sponsored in the past, that would be fantastic.
Great. Always great. What's the best way to get tickets? Go online? Go to your website?
The tickets will be going out. We have a whole system for this. And so it mostly will be done through the website, which is, you know, SVDP or right. St. Vincent de Paul Sacramento. You'll find right. it. I was on the website this morning. And we have last year's event and all that, and we haven't put out the new information for this year's event. So that'll be coming probably in about a month.
Very good. Very good, Paul. Always a pleasure. Thanks for all you do.
Thanks, Bob.
Always fun. We'll take a quick break here. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
This is Lori Power, Associate Superintendent with the Catholic School Department. You are listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Welcome back, everyone. Appreciate you being with us on the Bishop's Hour, and we're pleased and honored to welcome in David Perry, the principal at Cristo Rey High School right here in Sacramento. David, good day.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Doing very, very well. How are things at Cristo Rey at Christ the King?
Yeah, things are good. We're very blessed over here.
Yes. How long have you been? I still call it a new facility, but it's been a while now.
Yeah, I think we're in our sixth year.
Oh, my goodness, not new at all.
No, it still looks new, but kids take good care of it. But, yeah, we've cycled through a whole group of kids who started and graduated from this new building. So,
how many graduating classes have you had now?
Nine. This year will be our 10th.
Wow. Some of those people are probably running for Congress now.
Yeah, might be a good thing.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, in today's market, they would get a lot of votes from this part of town.
Yeah, I think right about now, if somebody told me, my only credential of running for Congress is I went to Cristo Rey, I think I'd vote for him.
Yeah, no, yeah. I think so.
Yeah, because I know for sure we would share values.
100%.
Yeah. Tell us about Cristo Rey and the Cristo Rey model.
Sure. I say this bluntly, it's Catholic college prep high school for students who typically couldn't make access or be able to get into a Catholic high school based on financial reasons. So the real distinguishing factor in who we are is that we have an income cap Here at Crystal Ray, we turn away families who make too much money,
mm-hmm.
and work exclusively with students who come from very, very limited financial resources. To give it some context, the average family of four for a student at Crystal Ray makes about $37,000 to $38,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then the way it works is our students work in corporate work study, so they do 5 days a month in corporate jobs in over 100 different locations throughout the Sacramento area.
100? Wow.
Yeah, we're in over 100 different locations now. We have over 100 partners helping us to make this work.
Is that growing every year?
That's my job, trying to make that thing grow.
Yeah.
So we're always looking for new partners who learn and, like you said, have some shared values, believe in what we're doing here and want to diversify their workforce and do workforce development. That's the piece that I think we're starting to really understand more clearly, is that we are a workforce development program in addition to being a Catholic college prep high school.
And these employers, there's not always a Catholic connection there.
No, not at all. I think many of our early day sponsors, when we first opened in 2006, and those that have been with us for a long time, many of them have some connection, mm-hmm. or the CEOs or the leaders.
Right.
But no, and not at all. I mean, we have some, we have kids everywhere. We're in the medical field. We're in the legal industry. We're in the finance industry. We're all over the place.
And these are not, I, with all due respect to everybody who works for a living at any occupation, but these are what you might describe as a white-collar occupation.
Yeah, that's the idea. The idea is to have our students experience what entry-level work with a college degree,
uh-huh.
or with some college education, would look like. So that they can understand that, one, that they belong at that table, at that desk, and that they have something to contribute, and that through education they can really change kind of their family trajectory from an income perspective through that type of work.
And many of these kids are the first in their family to go to college.
Yeah, almost. I can't say 100%, but almost exclusively first-generation college kids.
I remember in the very, very, very early days, some of them were the first to graduate from high school.
And in fact, that can still be the case. Many of our students are, to say this in a way that's fair, but many of our families are immigrant families, and mm-hmm. so maybe they left their home country at a young age and had to start working.
Right.
But the one thing that we share outside of, not every student is Catholic, but probably 75 to 85% of our mm-hmm. students do identify as Catholic. So outside of shared values in terms of Catholic Christian beliefs, all of our families know that they want their students to have a better opportunity than maybe what they have. And they know that an opportunity is born of education.
It's a sad truth that the number one reason why a lot of people don't get the opportunity to go to college is because they had to go to work. They
right.
had to go to work at 13 or 14 or 15 or 16 to support the family.
No, absolutely. And, the unique thing, and for the listeners, if anybody ever wants to come and visit Crystal Ray, they are always welcome. But what's fascinating, some of our students that I meet, they're working for their, to cover the cost of their tuition in work study, and then they're working weekends,
mm-hmm.
or they're doing unpaid work by taking care of younger siblings at the house in the evening so mom or dad can go to the night shift job.
Right.
And so, our kids are, and they're still doing college prep, academics. They're getting into four-year universities, and they're managing all that at ages of 14 to 18. It's inspiring, to say the least.
I remember interview. I believe it was Father Foley. Is that correct?
Yeah, he was the original Jesuit priest who founded the first school in Chicago in '96.
I remember interviewing him. I think it was right before the first graduating class, and he was coming out here and for that a grand occasion. And I said, "Where did you come up with this?" And he said, "It was with a number of leaders in Chicago, business leaders, things like that, and they're all talking and." said, you know, we came up with this concept. And I said, well, where'd the concept come from? And he said, we just made it up. But, you know, it sounded like something that might work. But he said, we didn't have any idea if it would work.
Yeah. And now he still works within the Cristo Rey network. And he says there's no doubt that this was the hand of God at work.
Yeah.
You know, and the true intervention of the Holy Spirit. What's really fascinating, and like you said, he didn't have any idea, right? I mean, they were just merely looking for a way to, you know, pay the bills so mm-hmm. they could have the school. What we've learned now in over 20 years of doing this work is that a big portion of our students' success, both academic and overall career success, is not just born from the work done in our classroom, but in fact, a lot of it comes from the work that they're doing in their corporate jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the self-esteem, the confidence, and the knowledge that they can do this and be successful, that was never in the original plans when Father Foley and those guys in Chicago sat down and said, how are we going to pay for this thing? You know, it was literally, how are we going to pay for it? But now,
right.
What we know is, it in fact is, that's part of the secret sauce of, I mean, to put it in perspective, a student who could go to a Cristo Rey high school but doesn't have access to a Cristo Rey high school based on geography or whatever, completes a bachelor's degree by age 24 at a rate of about 12 or 13%.
Mm-hmm.
A student who goes to a Cristo Rey high school completes a bachelor's degree at age 24 at a rate of about 36%.
Mm-hmm.
So three times more likely to complete that bachelor's degree simply because they had a Cristo Rey experience. And it's not just what's happening. It's in large part to what's going on with our teachers in the classroom, but we also know that it has a lot to do with the fact that these students have done 1,200 hours of corporate work experience before they're 19 years old.
1,200 hours.
Yeah.
Wow, so doing basically one day of full-time per week?
Yeah, it ends up being 5 days a month.
So an extra day in there somewhere.
Yeah, we rotate Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and the full academic load, and some of them are involved in extracurriculars.
Almost all of them are doing something else, right? Playing a sport in a club, helping with admissions, helping, you know, with donor outreach, with work study outreach. I mean, they're all doing something else on top of it, and working somewhere along the lines at home or to support the home as well.
I remember going to the very first graduation of Cristo Rey. It was at St. Ignatius Church there on Arden Way. And Father Foley had come out, and Bishop Wiegand was officiating. And it's the first time I've ever been at a graduation that did not involve one of my kids where I cried.
Yeah.
It was the some of the talks by the students and seeing them with their parents was just overwhelming.
Yes, I've only had the opportunity to experience one so far, but to say it's moving is an understatement.
Yeah.
Because you can just sense the hope. I mean, like, and even beyond hope, the knowledge that there is hope and that I have a plan that will allow me to accomplish a dream that has been born within me.
Yeah, it's boy, talk about a motivating factor. Is there a favorite college or university where the Cristo Rey kids go?
Yes, we have a lot of Aggies and a lot of Hornets.
Oh wow!
So
do they still
Davis.
Talk to each other after they've graduated? If one's going to Davis and one's going to Sac State?
Yeah. I mean, I think they're all bonded. You know, they're having this common experience at Cristo Rey, but. You know, we send the largest group of our kids really that go to 4-year college go to Sac State. A lot of kids having worked in other Catholic high schools before, we send a disproportionate share of our graduating class every year to UC Davis, which is a true accomplishment because that's, you know, it's a top ranked university nationally.
Little
old Cristo Rey are getting in.
Wow, it's like the fourth or fifth ranked public university in the country.
Yeah.
It's mind boggling.
So, I mean, you know, and then a lot of our kids will start in the Los Rios Community College system with a plan to transfer.
Which is really an excellent community college system. When you look at all of them, Los Rios always comes in very highly rated.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think we find that if they stick to their plan, they get a really good education through that system and are prepared for that transfer agreement to get off, you know, and finish out their last 2 years.
That's the wonderful thing about the community colleges, and I know the UC system, and I think the state university system as well, is they have that contract. You can sign a contract and says if you do this and this and this and take these courses, etc., you are guaranteed a spot at the 4-year school.
Right. It's a gift. And like I said, if they stay focused, there's nothing better. And right now, you know, the state legislature is obviously investing a lot of money in the community college system.
Right.
So our kids are going, you know, essentially 2 years free.
2 years tuition free. Yeah. I mean, how remarkable.
If they do it right. They can finish a 4-year degree with almost no, and our students end up with basically no debt, you know, or very little, and that diploma and all that work experience they already had. You know, employers that they know. I joke and say our kids at 18 have a legitimate LinkedIn profile, you know, with contacts in the community who have jobs that they can go to when the time is right and say, if you have an opening, I'm looking for work.
Job and also great references.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, and from important people in the community whose reference makes a real difference.
Yeah.
You know, and the other thing about the community colleges in this area is you have so many satellite campuses now that
right.
it's so much easier for a kid. I know in my hometown of Davis now, I mean, Sacramento City actually has a facility right on the UC Davis campus where you can do almost all of your 2-year right there.
Yeah. And then your third year, you're still there.
You're still there.
Right.
Yeah.
And you just keep going. And in fact, we've had some really good conversations with Chancellor May, and with some folks in the admissions department, and in particular, to start to really build an even stronger connection between Cristo Rey Sacramento and UC Davis. And at the heart of it, a lot of it has to do with that community college presence there on campus. So, you know, there's basically an either-or path for our students to become Aggies.
Yeah, they've really expanded the City College. I mean, they build new buildings, and it's pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
And Chancellor May is just a very great man in terms of inclusion, and I know the same thing at Sacramento State. I know
right.
they're very big on that. So
yeah, no, both institutions have so far proven to be very valuable for our kids. And like I was going to say, I mean, we've got great Newman centers associated with each of those colleges, and so
right.
you know, we're doing some more outreach with the folks running the Newman, so that part of how I see our preparation. You know, we call ourselves College Prep. We need to also teach our kids how they can continue to access and grow their faith. You know, and so it has to all be part of that overall process. It's not just how are you going to be successful in, you know, Econ 101 or whatever, or Chemistry 101, but, you know, how are you going to continue to grow as an adult that's going to, you know, really move the needle in the world. So
we're talking with David Perry, the principal at Cristo Rey High School. What did you do right? You must have done something right to land at Cristo Rey.
You know, Bob, I have been in a lot of different places in this diocese and kind of across the map. And
right.
a dream of mine, I visited the original campus in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
I had just been named principal of St. James, actually, in Davis.
Right.
And we visited Cristo Rey, and I left there with my youngest. My youngest was an infant in a carrier,
mm-hmm.
and I said, someday I want to open a Cristo Rey school. And my wife kind of looked at me like, oh, okay.
Okay.
You know, through a variety of life changes, I was here. I was in Florida, and I was back here in the diocese. And when I found out Sister Eileen was retiring, I just threw my name in the hat. And you know, I feel very fortunate that the board saw me as a good fit. You know, you can't ever replace a sister, especially one as a wonderful Sister Eileen. But it's been a real blessing for me in my life to have the opportunity to be part of this community.
Yeah, full disclosure, in the very, very early days, my wife was the person that was out finding the jobs.
Okay.
And I remember she went to the county clerk in Yolo County and said what she was up, and by golly, they came up with a job. And I thought, she's a public agency. I didn't know you could do that. You know,
yeah.
And just, you know, just hearing her stories about her interactions. I remember I think the very first year they had a football team. You don't still have a football team, is that correct? You have a soccer that's very
good. We do, yeah. We don't have a football program anymore.
But the very first year, there was no field, there was no lights, there was no anything. And of course, that time of year, once you go off of daylight saving, you know, it's getting dark at 5 o'clock. And I went out there one evening to like pick her up at about 6 o'clock, and here were the kids practicing football, and the people had their cars with the headlights on,
right,
so that they could practice.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is from humble beginnings.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, while we don't have a football team anymore, you know, that would not have to happen anymore. We had a very generous campaign two and a half years ago, and we put in a beautiful new athletic complex with a soccer field, and it's got lights. And
wow.
So now we play soccer games in the evening when necessary. And St. Francis, the girls, they use our, you know, we have a great relationship with St. Francis, and we share facilities. And gym, we use their gyms, they use our fields, and so they get to play out here too under the lights. And there's just something, when we opened the field a year ago, and we had our first homecoming game with a soccer match, there's just something different, it was palpable.
Yeah.
You know, I coined myself and Andreas Agos, our principal, we both kind of looked at it and said, our kids finally feel like they go to a real high school.
Uh-huh.
And it's just from the presence of an athletic field and having their friends compete on their campus.
On their campus, yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing the difference.
It's truly a heartwarming story, but it's not always an easy path for those kids. They've had to, you know, really keep their nose to the grindstone. They've had to produce, and miracles happen. And your graduation rate, it hovers near 100%, which, as far as I can tell, is about as good as you can get, you know. And even though I wasn't a math major, I know that. And, and then to see them off in the world, and I'm sure you get people in a PhD program somewhere probably now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, and what we're, you know, like you said, nothing is ever perfect. Nothing is ever given. Nothing is ever promised. But we have a ton of hope and a ton of faith, and we've seen great progress. I mean, last year, almost 70% of our graduates were accepted to a four-year university.
Wow.
I mean, so we are, our trajectory is good. That has a lot to do with the faculty, a lot to do with the students that come here, the parents. You know, it's a true partnership. I mean, every Catholic education system is a partnership, and this is no exception. The difference is our Cristo Rey kids at 14 really have made a decision. They're going to make a difference in their own lives, and because they have to make the choice to come here. They have to make the choice to wear a tie to school every day, to get on a van and go to work 5 days a month, and that's just not something most 14-year-olds are interested in doing. And it's a real blessing, and it is something special. You know, it is the work of the Holy Spirit for sure.
Oh, absolutely. David, do you find these potential students, or do they find you, or how does that process work?
A little bit of both. We have an enrollment department, so we go out. We have folks that go out and do a lot of parish festivals in the fall, and work, you know, every angle we can to try to diversify our student population, bring kids in from, you know, kind of a broad swath of, you know, as broad of a, you know, reach as we can in the community. But a lot of families now, it's, you know, my cousin goes here, my older brother went here, my mom works with someone who, you know, said that.
Right.
I should go to that school, you know, so it through word of mouth, we're at the point now where actually we have a waiting list, which, you know, for Catholic schools, that's a good thing. But in this situation, we would love to serve all the kids that want to be here. I mean, we just simply can't do it yet.
What, in your 4 years, what is your enrollment?
Today, about 370.
Uh-huh.
So.
Do you have the facility for more than that?
Our building as it's built out can hold about 400, but we own another building next door to us that has not been developed yet. that's the exact same size as the one we're in.
Okay.
And so, you know, but really what restricts us is, what restricts our enrollment is the number of paid jobs that we have.
Uh-huh.
So more paid jobs would mean we could serve more kids.
If people are listening and potential employers that would like more information on how this works, et cetera, how do they get in touch with you folks?
Yeah, they can call me directly, 916-400-3393. They can go on the website, crhss.org, Cristo Rey High School, Sacramento, crhss.org. Our contact information is there. I have basically two development focuses, right? I have to raise money and I have to find paid jobs. That is the primary role for me here at Cristo Rey.
Very good.
Well, so I'd love to talk to more folks and tour the school, introduce them to students, tell them how work study works. And then also if someone maybe can't hire somebody but is inspired by this message and wants to, you know, support a student with some tuition assistance, you know, all of that. There are many ways to help Cristo Rey High School continue its mission of transformation.
Dave, did I have your title right?
I'm the president, yeah.
Yes, you're the president, right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I knew you had a president and principal model, which
yes.
is... Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so Andreas Aigos is our principal. He's been in Sacramento education for a long time.
Right.
He came up at St. Francis. He's been with us for about 8 years now and has done a tremendous job with our academic program, which is a lot of the successes that we can now share today with potential donors, with potential work study sponsors.
So I'm going to go home and tell my kids today that I interviewed the president.
There you go.
Yeah.
Just leave it at that.
Just leave it at that. David, always a pleasure. You're doing the Lord's work and, God bless your efforts. I know the Holy Spirit is attending class with all those kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Bob, thank you so much for having me on again. It's always great to connect.
Yeah, you too. Take care.
Take care, Bob.
That's David Perry, the president of Cristo Rey High School right here in Sacramento. And it's such a great story. You know, you should go to their website and check them all out. We'll take a quick break. Back with more right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy Ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of America, Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
We stand and lift our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great!